God gave me a prophetic word, so I'm going to give it to you, all right? And I've written it out so you can have it, all right? So Lord Jesus wants you to know that you're precious to him. He has not forgotten that he brought you here to Lethbridge to succeed and not to fail. He wants you to know that he's working out a redemptive plan for you and your family, but it's a work in progress. In the meantime, he's at work in your faith, your hearts, and in your characters to release more grace, that is, his empowering presence, into your lives through all that you're going through. He wants you to know that in the future, you will need all of this grace that's available to you because of what he has called you to do yet. This period of lives is not a waste of time, but a precious time of growth and development for your faith. You must walk out this period of your lives with a dynamic faith in me, believing that I love you and I have some very good plans for you. In the meantime, press more and more into Jesus because he is your future, not a church or some other organization. Like King David, God says, you have found favor in my eyes. What Jesus is asking of you right now is your total obedience, loyalty to him, and allegiance to his way in your lives. Jesus says, keep your eyes firmly fixed on me. Isaiah 43:1, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, I could say, O Jeff, O he who formed you, O Janelle, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I anointed you as a prophet to the nations. I don't know if that part is prophetic or not, but if it is, this is just the beginning of a lot of stuff ahead of you. So, anyway. All right. Thanks, Janelle, for coming. Yes. Okay, no, you can stay. Oh, no, you can't go now. No, you got to stay here. Yeah, all right. Yeah, yeah. All right. Jeff and Janelle formerly were pastors at E Free Church. Some of you know them. You were formerly there, and he is presently working on his doctorate. If you ask what he's doing right now, that's what he's doing. And he's been in ministry for about 30 years, previously in Calgary at Rock Point Church in Calgary, not the senior pastor, but on staff there. And you have four children. Names?
Maddie, Zach, Hallie, and Riley.
Okay, and yeah. One of the, where are they?
Let's see, my son, who's second, he's out in Vernon, and then I have two kids that are here in Lethbridge, and another one that's in Poland right now.
Poland? Yeah. What's they doing in Poland?
That's part of my message here, so...
Okay, all right. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the word you've planted in Jeff's heart. Thank you for allowing Jeff and Janelle to come today. We pray blessing over them. Anoint the words that you've spoken to him. Our hearts are hungry to hear your word. Our hearts are hungry to obey your word. We thank you for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By the way, you're the first one that gets to speak up here at the
right.
Front. Yeah,
I'm going to actually beg. Can I go down on the floor?
Okay. Oh, you're going to? Oh, okay. All right. And I brought you up here for no good reason.
I don't have a whole lot of room up there otherwise. So, yeah, good to be here with you, Free Grace. And, man, I have appreciated the service so far. When before we were even in here, we spent an hour praying downstairs in the nursery area there, and the word just kept coming up, hope, hope, hope. And just to hear that prophetic word there just continued to fill with hope. The songs we sang filled with hope. The kids up here dancing, hope. That prayer that Suzanne, wherever she went there, that was a prophetic word of hope. And I appreciated the focus on that. We see the convoys going across. Hope. That's an image of hope. But our hope has to go so much further than that. To see the type of change that we long for here in our country. We long to see the Spirit of God pour out and revive our nation and see people cross over from death to life so that they can have hope for now and for eternity. Because that is the sure hope there. So, excuse me here. I'll get it here in a second. But I just want to say I have appreciated your church, even though this is the first time I've been here. But you guys have ministered to me well. Pastor Bill ministered to me well. Yes. When my ministry came to a premature end there at E-Free, he was one of the first guys on the phone there just to call me up and to say, hey, Jeff, come on over. And he prayed for me. He listened to me. He instructed me. He helped me. He has been a brother. And not a natural brother, a brother from a different mother, but a brother in Christ. And it has been great and helpful and healing and hopeful. And just yesterday, he and I were together. We were ministering out at someone's house. They needed some prayer for healing, and they called Bill and myself, and we were able to go out there along with a few of the family members and just pray healing there. And we hope, and when we hope in a sure hope, that God is going to work in that way there. So it is great to be here. And to speak on this passage here today, if you have your Bibles, flip open to Ephesians chapter 3. And my youngest daughter, her name is Riley. And she went out with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, to do some training out in Maui. She was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii there for 3 months. And when you send your kids out there, you know where they're going to be for their training, but you don't know where they're going to go for ministry. And so I had been hearing some stuff about what is happening with Russia and the Ukraine beforehand, and then they got their ministry assignment, and they were heading to the Ukraine, and immediately, in my mind, I was concerned. I didn't say anything to Janelle because Janelle doesn't normally listen to the news really that closely, so I hoped that, you know, everything would be okay and she wouldn't get stressed out about it. But as you guys know, at the beginning of December, the kids from YWAM flew out to the Ukraine. They got there, and everything sort of spiraled down since then. The troop build up on the border there. So Janelle caught wind of that, so both her and I were concerned about this, started praying. Got our prayer teams praying as well, but I don't know if you know anything about YWAM. The kids who go are usually, you know, teenagers, you know, late teens, early 20s, and the leaders, they are maybe a year or two older than those kids there. I dropped my other daughter off at one of these. I was amazed at how young these kids are, and they do amazing things for God, but sometimes I'm not sure that they use a whole lot of wisdom. They use as much as they have, I think. And so we were just praying, God, you know, help them to figure out what to do. So I remember actually just last week calling to the base in Maui and saying, hey, we would like to know what's going on with the team out in the Ukraine there. A couple days later, I got an email from one of the leaders out there. They emailed the whole crew of parents and said, we are in contact with the embassy. We will do what the embassy said. Well, as soon as they contacted the embassy, the embassy said, it is time to leave. And so we got a message from our daughter here this last week, and they said, they gave us an hour to pack up our stuff. We went and got our COVID tests, and we were on a bus, then on a train, and on that train, we were heading out of the country. And they got to the border between the Ukraine and Poland, and they got held up there. Nobody could speak English at this border. And so what did they do? They started to pray. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And they said, we must have showed our passports 2, 3, 4 times, and it didn't seem like we were going to move. But then all of a sudden, it opened up. Their COVID tests all came back. And she said, there's 25 of us on this crew. At least half of us were sick, and nobody tested positive for COVID. So So God opened up the border there. They got across the border into Poland. They made it. They jumped on a van and drove in to Krakow. So it was bus, train, van. A five-hour normal trip took them over 20 hours to make it there. But God was their strength in this time. God was their hope. And that's what this passage is here for us. God wants to be the source of our strength. We've heard that over and over again. We've sang it today. We've prayed it today. We are speaking to it. We're looking at God's word today. God wants us to be strengthened by this passage. And I know you guys have been preaching already through Ephesians, and Pastor Bill has been speaking through this here, telling us who we are in Christ. This is such a great passage here. Paul is so fired up about who we are in Christ, our foundation in this. He comes to this in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious and unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever." And all of God's people said, Amen. Yeah, we could almost shut it down right there. But let's just go back quickly and walk through. We need to understand God's power that is inside of us, that is within us here. God wants to be the source of our strength. And if we know God and we've turned over leadership of our life to Jesus Christ and we are Christ followers, the Spirit of God lives inside of us here. That's what Paul brings out here. That's what he gets fired up about. God wants to be the source of our strength. And here at Free Grace, not only does God want to help you to know the kind of power that's available for you in Christ Jesus, but he wants you to know how to use it, how to help you use it in your life to bring you hope. I don't know how many of you came here today with a burden on your shoulders. How many of you came with a hurt? How many of you came with a pain, a discouragement, a grief, a sin? But God wants to lift that and give you hope. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring grace. And the call is to realize God's unanticipated power in your life. He is there. And the first thing that we want to understand is we need to take the paternity test, okay? So who is your father? In verse 14, it says this: "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father." And the next phrase, it's a little better in the NIV: "From whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Every family in heaven and on earth derives its name from one father. Now, there's a little play on words here. If you know the original languages here, a word for father is patera, and the word for family is pateria. All right? Easy to see. The father from whom every family on earth derives its name. God is the Father of all. He's the creator of all. And we need to recognize that he is our Father. And this unites us as a family. That's what the gospel calls us to do, to be united together in this as his children. Not only here in Free Grace, but all those who call Jesus Christ Lord across our city, across our province, across our country, around the world. God's family. And what unites us? 1 John 5, 1 through 5 says this: "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too." Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? When somebody ticks us off, we need to be reminded. Like here, "And everyone who loves the Father loves all his children too. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey His commands. Loving God means keeping His commandment, and His commandments are not burdensome. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. That is true. And if we are part of God's family, if we are His children, then we can win this battle against the world. Now, my dad passed away, actually. That's why I'm a little emotional as well. But passed away exactly 4 years ago today. So I woke up this morning thinking about him. And now, if you knew my dad, you would know that our voices sound very similar. Sometimes I call up my mom, and my mom says, "Wow, you sound exactly like your dad." The older I get, the more I sound like him. And actually, my dad and I, we have the same hairdo, okay? I walk in to see my mom, visit my mom. She says, "Wow, you sure look like your father." I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or not, because I look around. I see some of you guys here, you know. I see Bill. Man, that guy has good hair. I want hair like that. You know, I act like my dad. You know, sometimes my wife says, "You're acting just like your dad." She doesn't mean it nicely either, okay? But we want to look like our father. We want to act like our father. We want people to look at us and say, "I see the love of God inside of you." God wants to be the source of our strength. Jesus said some crazy things. And one of the crazy things he said in Matthew chapter 12 says, someone once told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting for you." And Jesus replied and he said this, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my sister, and my brother." That's how you know if you're in the family of God. That's how you know if God is your Father. If you do what He commands in His words. God wants to be the source of your strength, and we have to obey Him. That's what we're called to do. Is God your Father? Well, then we move to the second charge that Paul says, is we have the power source. We can plug into it. If we know God is our Father, we can plug in to the power source here. On the Free Grace website, I checked this out. I see in your church doctrinal statement that you believe in the Trinity. All right, here's what it says. It's super clear. There is one true God eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of whom possess equally all the qualities of deity and the characteristics of personality. And that's what we see here in our passage in verse 16 through 19. See it here. You'll see the Trinity. "And I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God the Father." So three things he says here. Here's how you plug into the power source. You have the power of the Spirit, you have the love of Christ, and you have the fullness of God. Man, each and every one of us has an opportunity to plug into this here. This is what Paul prays. May you be endowed with these glorious riches, these spiritual riches. Now, we understand what material riches are. We look at people, they have nice houses, you know, they have all the toys, you know, the snowmobiles, you know, the quads, the boat, whatever it is. They have nice watches, great clothes. Some of you guys look really good today, all right? We understand what material wealth is. But sometimes we don't spend a lot of time thinking about spiritual wealth. What does the spiritual wealth look like? Because usually, spiritual wealth comes from spending time with Jesus, spending time with God in His Word, spending time submitting your life to the Spirit. And a lot of times it looks like rejecting the material wealth the wealth of this world. What goes on? In fact, we push those things away. How do we develop spiritual wealth? Well, a lot of times it's by pushing things away, like eating. Many of us like to eat, right? You don't have to nod too much, okay? We know, okay? But how do you develop the character of God? Well, you fast, spend time with Him. We push away from the table. Yeah. Sometimes we push away from the material things. And how do we develop spiritual wealth? By giving those things away, by becoming generous people. You know? How do we develop character in our hearts? Instead of talking, instead of engaging, sometimes we step away in silence and solitude so we can hear the voice of God, get to know His voice and understand what He calls us to. And we build these spiritual riches and build these deeply in our relationship with Christ. And then we build these and they become unlimited resources for us here. May you tap into the unlimited resources of the Spirit. And may you be blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, with Christ's death and resurrection, because He chose you in Himself before the foundation of the world. He has made known to us the mystery of His will. He has set us apart for good works. In fact, Pastor Bill stood up here 3 weeks ago, and he said, like in the first, you know, verses 4 through 10 in chapter 1, he went through 33 spiritual blessings just in those 10 verses. That was amazing. And he told me before I came up here that he went through the whole book of Ephesians. There's 70 blessings that you have in this small book here. And these are the riches that each and every one of us can have. Now, there was a certain man in England a few decades ago. He was an eccentric. His name was Julian Ellen Morris. And he liked, even though he was a really rich guy, he liked to dress up as a waif and go door to door selling soap, shampoo, and razors. So he would spend each and every one of his days going dressing down and going door to door selling these things to the houses. And then at nighttime, he would go back to his mansion, he'd put on his tuxedo, and he'd sit in his house. Weird, hey? Sometimes on the weekend, he would even catch an airplane, fly over to Paris, spend the weekend there, and come back. It was like he didn't know or understand how to live this rich life. Many of you sitting here live something like Mr. Morris. You spend your day-to-day lives in apparent spiritual poverty, only occasionally enjoying in the vast riches of the Spirit of God that's been given you through your Heavenly Father. How tragic that is for us to walk around in our own inadequacy, wishing we could be living more sumptuously in the superabundance of God's unspeakable riches. You are a child of the King. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. We want to tap into those things. Verse 16, 17 talks about this, all right? I pray that from His glorious and unlimited resources, He will empower you through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Now, we need to be filled with His Spirit. The Spirit needs to permeate our lives. In Ephesians 5:18, which we're coming to in a little bit here, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, what? Be filled with the Spirit. That's what the call is in this first part. Daily, invite the Spirit to come and control you. What does a Spirit-controlled life look like? It can be defined as increasingly giving your life over to the power of God. When the strength of God increases, sin decreases. When you're filled with the Spirit, your temptation to follow after the ways of this world reduces. When we are regularly fed on the power of the Word of God, we seek the Spirit's power in our life. We submit ourselves to God and His Word. That's what brings the inner strength through His Spirit. What empowers this? Well, the love of Christ. We spent a lot of time singing about that already today. It's a powerful thing. In verses 17 and 18, it says, then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So there's two metaphors here. A farming metaphor, the roots, and an architectural metaphor here. As you make his, as Christ makes his home in your heart, we need to have deep roots, and we also need to have a firm foundation. The love of Christ is deep. Way back in 2003, I remember as a pastor, I got invited to screen the movie The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if any of you have seen this. Yeah, this is a long time ago. Some of you weren't born back in 2003. Okay, makes me feel really old. But I remember going and watching that movie. And basically, this movie is about the last 12 hours of Jesus' life on this earth and the suffering he went through. Suffering that he didn't need to go through, because he is the perfect Lamb of God. Anybody who's walked on this earth has to suffer for their sins, or they should. That's what justice says, except for Jesus Christ. And yet he was the one who willingly came, went to the cross, suffered a beating and a death that he did not deserve. Why? Because he loved each and every one of you so deeply. Amen. That he willingly went to the cross to pay for our sin. May your roots grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. We need to understand that. The love of Christ is deep. No one and no thing in all of creation is outside of the saving love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his death and his resurrection, he conquered sin, he conquered hell, and he has given us life eternal because of his sacrifice for our sake. That's a deep love, isn't it? What an amazing love. And this is for us as part of the family. As all of God's people should understand this. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. How can we experience this love? It's by gathering together, isn't it? Have we experienced the love of Christ already today? Yeah, we have. Amen. My heart has been lifted up. I woke up, you know, and the first thing I thought about was my dad, you know. And I was sad. But then, I spent some time in God's Word. God took me to Psalm 139. There was hope. I drove over here an hour early so I could pray with the saints. You know what? That brought me more. You know, I came in the service here, and I heard the worship team singing. You know, I shook a few hands, some people here, saw your smiling faces, and the hope grew. And I mean, till my heart was busting. And then I came up here, and I got prophesied over, you know. And the tears started to flow. Why? Because of hope. Because of Jesus Christ. Because we do this together in a community. We come together to celebrate. You should get into smaller groups with people so you can encourage one another. Because this is great to come and celebrate here, but you need people who know you well. And then you also need people that you can get really intimate with, that you can confess your sin to, that they can pray for you, that they can challenge you. You know, when you're just being a jerk, they can come to you and just say, you know what, you're a jerk, and you need to stop doing that. You need people that can do that for you. And that's intimacy, that's relationship, that's community. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, and we experience that in community. Boy, oh boy, I got a roll here, all right. Then the last phrase here in verse 19 says this, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life that comes from the power of God. May you experience this fullness here. This is total dominance in your spirit. A person that's filled with rage will be dominated by hatred. A person that is filled with happiness will be totally dominated by joy. We want to be full of the Spirit of God, the power that comes from God. To be filled up to the fullness of God means that we are totally dominated by Him. And this needs to be emptied of ourselves. And when we empty ourselves and give ourselves away, Jesus said we will find exactly what we're looking for. He says in Matthew 16, 25, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." True freedom and true self-actualizations are found when we give our lives to Christ and we say we want to follow Him with everything we have. And then the third challenge is to realize the potential that we have in this. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Infinitely more than you might ask or think. You start thinking whatever you want to, God can do infinitely more. He can do way more than you can ask or think. He's already changed your life if you know who He is. You have been forgiven your sins. You've been changed. You've crossed over from death, spiritually dead with no hope for the future, to life and hope and a promise for now and eternity. That is a miracle, my friends. We don't give that miracle enough credence. That we're worried about other miracles. We want people to be healed. You know, we want our needs to be met. We pray these things will happen. You know, I prayed that my daughter would make it out of the Ukraine, and praise God she did. But you know what a greater miracle is? Is she's crossed over from death to life. That's a great miracle. And we need to keep praying for those miracles, because it says here that God, through His mighty power at work within us, is able to do infinitely more than we might ask or think. When the Holy Spirit empowers us, when Christ indwells us with His love, and God has filled us with His fullness, then He is able to do exceeding abundant beyond what we can ask or think. Now, I have a friend who's a pastor up in Sylvan Lake, senior pastor of a church of this. I got a great text from him this week. For some reason, I don't know why it is, he is seeing the manifest presence of God poured out in the city of Lethbridge right now. And he texted me this. He said, "I want to share something with you, Jeff. Because while following Jesus needs to be a reasonable faith, it's also a very practical and experiential faith." I'm not sure why he wrote that, because he is like an awesome guy who just believes in the power of God. But in the last 3 weeks, he said, "We've prayed for 10 people to receive physical healing, and 6 of them have. They were in pain, we prayed, and they were immediately healed. Very profound experiences." And then he said another person was filled with voices in his head for the last 20 years, telling him to do terrible and evil things. And we prayed for him, and he talked to me a week later, and he said he couldn't remember, or he couldn't even think of any bad thoughts, even if he tried. Amen. He was released from this demonic oppression, and for the first time he can remember, he is free. And he was astounded and grateful. He can do much more than we can ask for or imagine. If you were to read this here in the ESV, it says he is able, and it builds on that. He is able to do. God is able. God is able to do. God is able to do exceeding. God is able to do exceeding abundantly. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or we think. Do you believe that, free grace? Oh boy, that was really weak. Do you believe that here, free grace? Amen. I know you do. I hear that you do. I've seen it today. Pastor Bill tells me that you do. And I know that he does. I don't think I need to say a whole lot else, but I just need for us to think, do we need that here today? Is there something that you need today? Did you come in here with a heavy heart? Did you come in here with a burden? Did you come in here with something that you need, that exceeding, abundant, more fullness of the power of God to come and to hold up? He can do infinitely more than you can ask for or imagine. So why don't you come to Him today and see what He has for you? Amen.
That's a full meal deal. That was really good, Jeff. Now, all right, what came to me as I'm listening is, let's do something.
Hold your hands out.
Hold your hands out. All right. And I do this every morning, and I do it because I leak. Amen. All right? I leak. In other words, I get filled up, and then I leak. So every morning I say, Lord, I need more of You. That's what Jeff was saying. We need more of You. So why don't we just take a moment and just say, Lord, come and fill me with Your Spirit. You can do that every morning. Don't forget it. I forget occasionally, all right? And that doesn't go that well. But when I do it, I say, Lord, I can't do it without You. I'm not kidding. I can't do it without You. So why don't we do that right now? Father, we're sitting here with our hands open, and we're receiving everything that You wanted to give to us. All the things that Jeff was talking about this morning, we're receiving the fullness of Christ's love. We're receiving the fullness of His forgiveness. We're receiving all that the Father wants to give to us and what He's called us to. We're receiving the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Now come and fill us, Holy Spirit. Come and fill us, because we don't want to just hear a good message. We want to take it out. We've got responsibilities this week with our families, with our children, with our neighbors, with our workplaces. Everywhere we go, we want to take You, Jesus, in everything that we're doing. So thank You for encouraging us with that word this morning. We receive it, and we receive Your fullness today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, he was also saying about there's some perhaps physical needs, maybe some emotional needs, you need some healing of some sort. There's some other things going. Maybe you have some theological or spiritual needs. We want to pray for you. All right. Now, having said that, we need to have some people volunteering. We need prayers and we need prayees. All right. So if you're a prayee, we invite you to come. Now, if you don't need it, that's fine. Fellowship, have a great time. But if you need some of that, we do want to meet your need. All right? We don't want to just hear the word. We want to apply it to our hearts and our lives. So if you have some needs, you come. All right? And we'll dismiss you.